Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website's Real Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I'm going to head off to the Megalomart in a bit. You guys need any propane or something? And with me, I have...
If I see one more goddamn mid-episode five-minute flashback scene, I swear to Jim and Jesus above!
And...
So, what did I miss?
Hey, Mark's back! The hybrid returns!
Oh, it's been a long, hold up. Three weeks. Oh, fuck. I've been up for this long?
Yeah, lots of things have been happening that have thrown off the groove. But the important thing is that now we are in a spot where the groove is back.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just forget the fact that it's Tuesday right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They don't need to know that.
They do now!
I mean, you're saying that like I'm not going to get this episode up on Wednesday. Whole lot of caffeine and some prayers to the Lord above, who I might be meeting in the next 5 minutes if I take enough caffeine.
Heap.
I'll be fine.
I mean, all I know, at least I know I'm back here doing my thing, with friends. Because you know what? That's the important thing about friends and your podcast mates. Yeah, make sure you get mentioned that you know that. Well, I'll just say this. Since you try better than Young Thug, she's his friend.
Who?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, about that shit. Yes, consider you whine about, can you give me no feature or some bullshit as in from some bullshit saying like, oh, Andre 3000 didn't put nobody from Atlanta. Like, motherfucker, Andre 3000, him and Big Boy put the whole South on display. Because if it wasn't for him, nobody would have known your dumb ass. In fact, you forget that, you know, Outkast, the Johnson family. Who's a member in there? One of the motherfuckers you covered the most. That being Future.
Oh, God, yeah, Future.
Like him, leaking those tapes out of prison, like, oh, boy, somebody must have really hate your dumb ass. It's like, you talking mad shit about how... About how, like, you try to get a feature from Kendrick, but he's saying, yeah, no, I don't trust you. And he's like, I don't need you anyway. You can never be as big as Drake. Like, you think? That's a dumb thing to say, especially right now.
That might be foreshadowing for later.
Yeah. And apparently, you're talking mad shit about your friends. He's talking mad shit about Future, talking mad shit about Gunna, even one time you said you called Glorilla ugly, like, motherfucker, you have no room to talk.
Something, you no know, new friends.
It's like, man, you talk about you're not a rat, but yeah, getting to be the rat. Well, you know what? Now think about it. Yeah, people have mentioned that whole line from Euphoria. I know some shit that make Gunna look like a saint. Well. Damn, that aged like fine wine, did it?
And how?
Oh, and one more thing. Possibly make a stallion because, yeah, he's talking shit about her, you're bound to get sued. Like, yeah, she sued that one streamer, his fucking name is Aiden Ross or something. Turns out, do you know how she sued him? She sent a mariachi band to his house.
Heh.
Wait. Did you say Aiden Ross?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, God, this guy. Ugh.
Yeah, but she sued him. She sued him and DJ Academic. So, yeah. Payback So, yeah, she can't do no word that she gonna sue the fuck out of you and you go home for the rest of your fucking life. And you know it could have to a better person than, well, y'all two. Well, those two. What would be next?
Oh, we can only dream. But anyway, here we are back in the usual groove, episode 407. So, how's everyone's week and or weeks, plural, been going?
A lot of the usual, really. Not a whole lot going on, except I am now taking the wonderful journey of catching up on Demon Slayer because...
Oh, no.
...movie is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been very behind on it because I don't watch a lot of shows weekly anymore because I don't have the time to do it. Also, my voice is crappy right now. Deal with it. So I've been watching the last couple seasons of it. The pacing is so bad. It's so sluggish, and it just stops on a cliff whenever it feels like it, and all the fucking flashback scenes take up so much time.
Okay.
I promise I like the show, but it just grates on my last nerve whenever it does all this extra cinematic crap. Ugh.
There was ever such a thing as being a victim of your own success.
Fun fact, the most recent batch of episodes from last year, I read the manga chapters instead. It's only 12 chapters long. It took me 16 and a half minutes to do so.
Oh,
this
dear.
Arc is 8 episodes long and is 4 hours long.
I am very scared.
Okay.
And the movie, the first of 3, comes out this week. It's 2 hours and 35 minutes long.
What the fuck? This is...
Good lord.
Well,
Chainsaw Man cannot come fast enough.
A month and a half. I can make it. I can survive. Anyway. Mark, what about you?
Well, since I've been out for the past 3 weeks, well, I guess you should know how I've been doing, at least some of the weeks. I mean, as you know, like, the first week, I was out because I have other kind of emergency I've been dealing with. That's all good now. They're all doing better. Everything's all cool and fine, dandy, which good. And also, y'all good support system for me.
Aw, I'm flattered.
Yeah, and of course, the second week we were off because we didn't have shit on that week. And the third week, as I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do this regular. My fucking laptop died. Like. All because of one fucking update, fucking Microsoft, I'm talking about my laptop, like, the shit wouldn't load, I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, yep, this thing is fucking broken, so I took it to a repair shop, although, I took it Friday, except around that week, after Friday, we'll consider it, like, it was on Labor Day weekend, so I decided to take it Tuesday. Next day, he got a back fix, which would have been a good thing. I do that instead of, doing that shit. But yeah. I will say on that Tuesday, apparently the internet had a whole outage for the whole. I want to say state, but more like city, county. I don't know. Like the internet was out. The internet was out. Like,
oh just, lord,
just like that. Yeah, but yeah, like I was like, oh damn, no, damn, not this shit too. All this shit keeps happening in the span of three weeks. Like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, it's just been a wild week. Well, a couple of weeks. I've also been since I'm on the computer, I could work on my stuff. Like, delay some things I've been working on, which frankly that should be fixed right away. I dig into an amazing Digital Circus rabbit hole, or at least stuck in a hole there
because I get it.
Like. Of course, I want to put my feelings on the recent episode. I gotta say, why do you motherfuckers like Jack so much? Like, I get it. He's funny. I get it. He's funny and all, but okay, I'm gonna be honest. If I was in that episode, and I don't know, considering, well, let's see, Rob, you're the only person that watched the show, that almost the show, right?
Right.
Let's say both was in this. So I'm like, if we had an episode about guns, I'd be the one to shoot Jax in the kneecap, in the spine, possibly in his ass, and in the head.
He knows what he did.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but y'all motherfuckers be and like this dude's like, oh, he's so misunderstood. He's like, and yeah, you motherfuckers would villainize people like Ragnar and Dangle for shit that is warranted and warranted, and they deserve the cussing his ass. But yeah, I'm sorry, but y'all, no fucking god, fucking wild for doing that shit.
It's the Skylar White discourse all over again.
Yes, and also I've been looking at, you know, stuff from TikTok, smacking me, people doing their own shit, people doing a few months back they did like a, well, the voice actors they did a stream of them playing a real game called Fast Food Simulator, like one of those games.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And they figured. Yeah, and if I ain't watched this, I thought, oh, okay, this is kind of funny. And somebody did an animatic of it. I'm like, okay, this should occupy my, you know, be feeling down. Like, this is kind of funny. I'm like, it's basically what happened if Bracken was on the stupid sauce for long. It just basically mixed up with a typical stoner. It's like, yeah, it's easy to chaos. Jack's actually doing work, and Gangle's an emotional mess. That's the manager. I'm just like, this is, like, this shit is funny.
I wish and I could also, be on stupid also, sauce. Kinda,
yeah, and also, and yeah. it's just some fun shit. Like, okay, I kind of want to see where. It got a little bit more considering, like, they went to level 10 of that game, which I didn't get used to level 15 or some shit, which is kind of weird. I mean, I don't know the game, but still, like, it's still kind of funny.
Good stuff. Anyway, as for me, I mean, I'll just talk more TV stuff, I mean, why the hell not? So, yeah, I'm officially a couple episodes away from finishing season 3 of King of the Hill. First of all, can I just say, I was not prepared for the Megalomart to fucking explode!
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that,
oh,
holy oh, shit, oh, yeah, that is a choice for a season finale.
It gets them every time.
Yep.
I was not prepared for this to be a show with event episodes like that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm having fun with it so far. Is something wrong with Bill? Like, I mean, genuinely. Like, I get he's heartbroken because of the divorce, but, like, did all those years of playing football give him too many head injuries? And that's why he's...
He's trying his best.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like Peggy would be perfectly justified in getting a restraining order. Yeah, I got past that episode with the... Hank and his mom in the little town where the spring babies. By the way, that raises a question, because if MTV exists in the universe of King of the Hill, does that mean Beavis and Butthead exist in the universe of King of the Hill as a TV show? And thus, by extension, Mike Judge has to exist as a person in the universe of King of the Hill?
I mean, if Office Space exists in that universe, then maybe.
Yeah, they get both Office Space and King of the Hill will be pushed by Fox. Wait.
Oh my god. I'm turning into Dale here. By the way, speaking of Dale, I have a question. So, okay, tail end of season 3. How many more seasons until there's some kind of payoff to the whole Rusty Shackleford thing?
Maybe you'll get there in time. I can't remember what season it is because there's like 13 seasons.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, like, you know, like, even I don't even I don't remember that much. And I usually like, first time I watched that show was on like syndication on FX. That was like a long time ago. Of course, the move to, you know, Adult Swim, and, you know, they use, you know, the rest.
Yeah, I'll admit, I only ever half paid attention. Although I will say, season two had, like, one of the few episodes I remember actively watching in the past, the one with Chris Rock as the driving school stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah, that episode. Oh, yeah. And it was like, they took the X-Files and they say some shit like that, which, oh, yeah, I actually like Chris Rock, but okay.
Also, low-key, season three has the funniest joke I've seen so far, which is the episode where they accidentally burn down the fire station. Specifically, Boomhauer telling his version of events, and everyone talks like Boomhauer, but he talks normal. Do you gentlemen mind? I'm trying to read a magazine about auto repair. I'll tell you what, that man, you know, things are all the car and all that. But, yeah, we'll see where season four goes. But, anyway, now it's time to move on from that to the usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. Of course, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, mark your calendars for new albums, and, of course, all that other good stuff. So, let's start right up at the top with an album that is dated for Halloween. Another one, and probably the most fitting record I can think of for a Halloween release. So, the sludge noise band Primitive Man are releasing their first solo record since 2020, but technically this is also following up their 2023 collaborative album with Full of Hell. The record is called Observance, again, Halloween record, and we have the lead-off single Social Contract. The song opens on about a minute of this kind of ominous clicking, ticking, clacking kind of sound before this ear-piercing, droning lead guitar kicks in, eventually leading to a kind of sparse bass and this very odd-like background kind of vocal barking type of thing. And then this all vamps up until the point where it's like at the four-minute mark where the drums, bass, and all the rest of the band kicks in proper. This very slow tempo punctuated by the occasional tom fill and pattern. And, of course, plenty of deep vocal bellowing for good measure. The song does notably switch to some driving D-beats by around the 7-minute mark, and then, you know, eventually half-timing that shit by around the 8-minute mark. I don't know how to describe this other than this is 100% music, the kind of music that scares the hoes, as it were. But as a guy who loves music that scares the hoes, it's very much my kind of thing when I'm in the mood for something very dissonant and misanthropic, so I'll probably be there on Halloween.
Well, clearly, whoever put this video together took a good bit of inspiration for the direction and tone from the Nine Inch Nails Broken video. You know, the one that looks like a super convincing snuff film?
Yeah. That one.
It's definitely heavy and sludgy and brutally gorific. Good if you're into that, but for me, it's good. I can admit that it's good. Just not quite for me, though.
That is fair. So, now moving on to the next track here, the week afterwards, on November 7th, it looks like we have a new album from the electronic producer, Clark. Which makes sense, it's been about a couple years since his last proper studio album, Sus Dog. And this new called Steep Stims. That name is kind of awkward to say, to be honest. I get the alliteration, but, like, still. Yeah, so we have the lead-off single here now called Blowtorch Thimble. And for reference, Clark's previous record kind of had a lot of very tuneful, sort of vaguely synth-pop-ish, also a little bit jazzy, like kind of soft jazz sort of stuff. It was also a very vocal record, like he was singing a lot on that. But this one is, from the bat, a lot more energetic. Like, you hit play and you immediately get this kind of drum and bass rhythm going on. You know, the percussion is pretty classic in terms of that style. Along with a lot of these stuttering, jittery synth melodies that are very pervasive throughout the track's run. As it starts to layer on more crystalline, melodic, you know, more of a crystalline melodic through line through a lot of the spots. The mix will kind of have these melodies sort of dip in and out of on occasion to allow some equally rapid paced warbled bass synths to kind of bubble up in and out of the mix. A lot of this is very much, yeah, this is like obscure banger ass PS1 game soundtrack in the best way possible, mind you.
Okay, that sounds intriguing.
It is intriguing. This one is a handshaker for sure. You'll be grooving and raving in the club all night with all the lights flashing and maybe some hallucinogenic drugs going through your system all throughout, but in a good way.
The only drug I need is Lady Propane.
That's a clean burning hellfire, I tell you what. You'll get there.
All right, now let's move on to the next track. We have another single here from Perturbator from the producer's upcoming album, Age of Aquarius, due out on October 10th. And apparently I skipped over singles 2 and 3, but we're just going to pretend I didn't. Shifty eyes. But yeah, this new single is called Morse Ultima Ratio, which kind of sounds like a Final Fantasy VII fanfic. But anyway, yeah, with this track, the synths start like kind of right away with this mix of a grand droning chords and this kind of somewhat stuttering set of more buzzy synths, not unlike a guitar riff in certain respects, which is to say that it's, well, okay, it's a different kind of guitar thing from like some of the actual chorus-laden guitar melodies that are, you know, kind of accentuating the song throughout, but you know what I mean. It really helps to build, like, this kind of suspenseful synthwave atmosphere. And, of course, things pick up a bit as the drums start driving the tempo, matching the energy of the rest of the instrumental, some more droning, howling bass synths, and other eerie melodic leads. There is kind of a point where you get this slower bridge that's got more of, like, a 6-8 tempo. And I'll admit, this is kind of the part where the track doesn't fully coalesce, because, like, once it gets there, then it kind of tries to pick the tempo back up into this kind of weird janky groove that I can't tell if it's 4-4 or 6-8 or maybe both at the same time, but it just doesn't come together as fully as I would have liked. But I mean, overall, I kind of dig it. Like, compared to a lot of Perturbator's more recent post-punk material, this one feels like it's also trying to like sort of have some of that, but also some of the Uncanny Valley era of his style. Like I said, good stuff.
Basically, everything what I said about the previous track applies here as well, only instead of hallucinogenics, you're instead ingesting hard liquor for a different effect altogether.
I wish I had some hard liquor. But anyway, moving on to the next couple of tracks here. So, looking over at the cinematic offerings from the silver screen, later on this month, September 19th, we're going to see the theatrical release of the film Him. Directed by Justin Tipping and produced by who else but Jordan Peele, the plot of the film follows this up-and-coming football talent who's invited to a compound owned by a legendary quarterback played by Marlon Wayans to train up his skills, only for things to go down south horrifically in pretty much exactly the ways you may think from a movie with Jordan Peele's name in the credits and a single word title. Come on, we've already been on this ride like 3 or 4 times already. You gotta be up and on the up and up. And notably, the film soundtrack has, of course, the score here being composed by Bobby Krylik, and songs from the likes of Sampa the Great, Gucci Mane, Maxo Cream, Mobb Deep, and even Tierra Whack and Guap Dad 4000, the latter two having acting roles in the film as well, although that's kind of an odd assertion because you're trying to tell me that Guap Dad 4000 is real? Come on, I wasn't born yesterday.
So like I said, we got two songs from both, you know, Tierra and Guap Dad. The first one from Tierra being Tiptoe, and okay, I want to say this is more of a Scorpion than a song because, like, I do hear the vocals from Tierra, and I thought, okay, it is a thing, and then. But then as like the song goes further, increasing this, you know, which I guess is part of a Krylik score, which sounds very, you know, eerie and eerie and fucked up, which are like, okay. Like, I think the other thing for what Tickets should be, which I thought was pretty good. I thought, okay, this is okay. We get some really terrifying shit. Although I will say for the other song, the Guap Dad song Slim, which also features Mavi, which okay, well, it's okay. It's not exactly it does sound like something that you play your car. I do think if they play that song, it is more like, I want to say more of a flexing song, because that's how I see when I hear it. That's what I hear, because that's what it sounds like, which, okay, I mean, they're both cool tracks. I'm looking into the track list, which, okay, give us that you got Serious Gucci Mane, you got Mobb Deep with Shook Ones Part 2, of course. You got one track featuring Larry June, which, okay. Okay, and of course, Denzel Curry, which I'm guessing, since Denzel Curry has a track called, well, literally the title of the movie, I'm gonna guess that might be an end credit song. I mean, seems like it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And have a little trailer of the movie itself, which I thought, oh, okay, this is good. Okay, I'm gonna be either fucked up when my sense is over, like, okay. And he's saying, all right, tracks are fine. I thought Tierra Whack One was, well, probably more innovative. Well, not innovative, but more, you know, interesting than the Guap Dad one. Like, the Guap Dad one was fine. The Guap Dad was fine, but the Tierra Whack One was more interesting. So, yeah, there you go.
Fair enough. Not much else to add, but again, stop trying to convince me that Guap Dad's a real person. Anyway, time to move on to the next track here. Certainly one of the more hype releases of the past few weeks. Kind of hard to ignore when it's got as much star power behind it. So, we have a track here with three of the most noteworthy ladies in the metal scene of the past 20 years. We have Poppy, the vocalist of Spirit Box, Amy Lee, the vocalist of Evanescence, and Courtney LaPlante, the vocalist of Poppy. Wait, hang on. I think I got my notes mixed up here. No, wait, that's all right.
It's never going to get lived down. It's funny that we're all in on it.
So, yeah, these three vocalists have officially collaborated on a new single called End of You, which for now is a one-off, but maybe some of the talk sounds like it might be leading to something more. We'll see if it happens when it happens. So, first of all, as far as the song itself, I'm compelled to ask, who else is performing on it? Because obviously there's a backing band here as well, but I couldn't find a lot of proper accreditation, like not on Rate Your Music or even the like YouTube description itself. But I do think it's worth noting since one of the credited co-writers of the song is guitarist Mike Stringer, I'm operating under the assumption that Spirit Box is the backing band here, which I think is fair given how we're also going to describe the song when we get into it. But also, does anyone smell that? So, something about the credits on the song smells fishy. Oh, hey, Jordan, yeah. Fish.
Okay. Let's give him a chance. Maybe he can redeem himself here.
All right, so, structurally, the vocal dynamics are, of course, the star focus here. Amy Lee handles the intro, as well as the chorus, which makes the most sense. I mean, she was responsible for some of the most iconic rock hooks of the 2000s, so give her that responsibility, and I think she does fairly well there. Kind of that haughty, dramatic gravitas you'd want in this kind of metal jam. Poppy, she mainly gets the first verse, as well as kind of weaving additional vocal accompaniments in and out of the other sections of the track. And, again, credit where it's due. Poppy has been improving a lot since she first got into the metal game, and this is probably some of the best vocals she's ever laid down. Especially that screaming bridge where the song effectively transitions between her and Courtney LaPlante as well. You know, delivering the typical Courtney performance, lots of harsh screams, but also great vocal melodies that, production-wise, actually give her a bit more breathing room compared to how synthetic some of the vocals on Tsunami Sea were. And, of course, instrumentally, you know, the guitars bring a great mix of, you know, melodies, driving, you know, guitar riffs, a lot of very aggressive dissonant chugs and chords. The drums are, of course, you know, laden with lots of complicated sticking patterns, even in, like, the verses and such. And, yeah, I'd say overall it sounds pretty much exactly as great as you'd want from all the talents involved. And just for reference, I don't necessarily think Jordan Fish is a bad producer. I just think it's funny that, as me and Alex have both said, he's basically angling to be the Jack Antonoff of the metalcore scene. So it's almost like a drinking game at this point.
Well, I have no idea if this is going to lead to something larger in the works, but as a one-off collab, it's pretty solid. Hey, look at that. Jordan Fish can produce good things. Who would have guessed? Also, yeah, worlds are colliding. Eras are crossing over. If only we could go back in time and maybe do a little bit of time manipulation. Who knows? Maybe it would be Spirit Box singing the song Bring Me to Life, and Amy Lee would be the one heading up this project known as Poppy. You never know.
But thankfully time travel's not real. That would cause some weird ripple effects. Who knows, we might land in a timeline where Hank Hill is a charcoal salesman. I mean, anyone would want that. But yeah, now let's... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Hank would have nightmares going there. Like, whoa!
And how?
We're like the cold sweat.
Anyway, now let's move on to the exact opposite of contemporary metalcore with the last track on the list here. So, a while back, we actually got some new material from Tame Impala, the first in like about 5 years or so, which seemed like about enough time for there to be some new stuff in the pipeline. And we know what that new stuff is, as on October 17th, we're going to be getting the newest album from Tame Impala titled Deadbeat. And to commemorate that announcement, we also have a brand new single here called Loser. I feel like there's a motif here. Anyway, we of course also have a music video here, which features Djo, Joe, however you pronounce that name. But as for the song itself, so compared to the previous single, which had a bit more of like this EDM thing going on, you know, 9 minutes, looping beats, dancing, all that stuff. This one has more of this kind of a yacht rock sort of thing going on, playing these very light and breezy guitar licks and chords with a drum beat that's pretty stripped back and minimal, all things considered. A lot of this production, well, a lot of the songwriting being bolstered by the kind of ethereal, dreamy sense that, you know, are very characteristic of Tame Impala's work at this point. I don't have a lot to say about it, other than the fact that it's certainly kind of a contrast of singles so far, but this one, it's alright. I don't think it has quite as strong of a hook as, like, some of the really major Tame Impala songs, but we'll see what happens when the full album drops.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is, well, I do feel like this is somewhat more familiar in Tame Impala's direction than the last single, mainly because it does, like you said, it's like close to yacht rock, although I will say it, although I think you're all kind of right on that. I mean, it is, it's more of what I usually know him for. I'd say for me, the track is, it's not bad. Like, I can definitely, I've seen something in my head to it a couple of times, it's a pretty decent song. And oh yeah, since you mentioned the song's name, Loser, guess who makes a cameo for me? Guess who makes a cameo in here? Apparently,
Beck.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, Becky. Get it?
Loser. Yeah.
Comedy.
It's very clever. I mean, if anyone wants a 70s throwback pop song that isn't totally garbage, I guess this will cure that itch. Certainly a lot better than the prank YouTuber turned industry plant singer Alex Warren.
Yeah, we don't speak of that name. I already did my rant.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he's not number one. He's still not number one. I think that still belongs to you know.
It belongs to Huntrix, as it should.
Yeah. Also, there's a Sabrina Carpenter album bomb, so there's that too.
Yeah.
How's that for a takedown?
Comedy. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we have some news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have three news topics to discuss here, the first of which takes us yet again to the silver screen, as it looks like one of the more anticipated films of next year is going to be a film adaptation of Wuthering Heights, the 1847 novel by author Emily Bronte, which is very considered like controversial at the time, but nowadays is praised as a classic of literature. The film is going to be directed by, Emerald Fennell, whose previous film was the 2023 feature Saltburn, which, if I remember correctly, I think is the one where the guy lies his way into killing an entire rich family and then dancing naked through their garden. I could be misremembering.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
I think it has that one song that was like 20 years old at the time that it charted somewhat.
I'd have to look it up. I didn't actually sit through the movie. Been considering it,
though. On the dance floor?
Maybe. But, yeah, getting back on topic. So, the film is going to star the likes of Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi. And it's going to feature, most interestingly, original music courtesy of Charlie XCX. Looks like her forays into the realm of film are just not stopping. They ain't stopping. This train's got no brakes.
Yeah, so, okay, so. So we got here, a movie that's from an anime that's basically a property, released by Warner Brothers, stars Margot Robbie, directed by female director, a co-male lead co-star, and Charlie's X is part of the soundtrack to it. Well, more than. Yeah, no surprise to another thing. Yeah, no surprise to some I'm referencing. You get it now?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
It took me a while, but I'm quick on the uptake.
Yeah. And okay, I guess. We figured that Charlie is doing a song, so it's like this should be interesting. I don't know if he's gonna just do the whole thing, or he's got other people featuring on there too, depending on the label or whoever they want on there when they got on there.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Who knows? She might get some kind of a award for her work, but who knows how that nomination will work out. But anyway, speaking of awards, so we have our second topic here as the 2025 Emmy Awards were apparently this past week or so. I honestly kind of completely forgot. I don't even know who all won, like, a lot of the major categories. The only thing I really know off the top of my head is that I'm pretty sure Arcane took home Best Animated Series, which, you know, fair enough, but maybe Common Side Effects will take it in Season 2. Okay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I think for the Creative Emmys, that was, that was
yes.
there, and, okay, and looking at the winners, I see Lazarus is not, it's not one of them, which, well, damn, that sucks, but, okay, at least they were nominated.
Eh, yeah, these things happen, but, the most important victory that happened was, of course, the fact that the Emmy for Outstanding Music Direction went to music director Tony Russell and Kendrick Lamar for the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
Kendrick just opened his mouth. Someone hand him an Emmy right now.
Yep.
Okay.
His second Emmy, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is going to be, this is just great. The man, he's got two awards for the beef of 2024. Now we're halfway to the EGOT. We just need a Broadway stage adaptation and a feature film. Come on. Y'all got the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever.
This is fucking fantastic. Yes, he won it. Yes, won it before performing the song that started the beef of this fucking century.
You'll love to see it. Unless you're Drake, in which you hate to see it, but, you know,
yeah.
Who cares what Drake thinks? He's off doing weird AI crap or whatever.
Or some
Are you serious?
Daniel talked about it. Watch if you dare.
I guess it's bullshit for his Iceman album.
Probably.
Of course. And are people saying that was out of that as well.
I'm tired of this bullshit, Grandpa.
Well, that's too damn bad.
You keep digging!
But, yeah, congratulations to Kendrick. And speaking of Fantano, we have our final news article here. So, you might remember last week that we did talk about Mr. Fantano, specifically in relation to the legal actions happening between him and Falling in Reverse douchebag Ronnie Radke. Tried to sue him over making a YouTube video about how much Ronnie Radke sucks. Or as we just call it, a documentary stating the facts. And it was all very hilarious, the fact that he sent the lawsuit to the wrong Anthony Fantano at first, but then lost even after sending it to the correct Fantano. And he was ordered to pay... Oh, I actually didn't note this last time. Apparently, the payment was $40,700 in defense attorney fees that Radke owned to Fantano and company. But apparently, he objected to that amount. So, right now, Radke is fighting against, you know, having to pay this lawsuit out from, you know, pay the fees out from this whole failed defamation case, despite the fact that it was very clearly dismissed under perfectly valid anti-slap statutes in the state. However, Radke's objection argues, and we're quoting directly here, the total fees and costs sought by Fantano are excessive, grossly disproportionate to the test performed, and Fantano has failed to meet his burden of demonstrating the reasonableness of the fee award sought. The number of hours spent by defendant's counsel is consistent with a case that has gone through discovery and is close to trial, not a case in the pleading stage. And of course, further claiming that Fantano did not provide a copy of his retainer agreement with Cohen and Wolf, which I'm assuming is the like his legal team, like that law firm, because that sounds like a law firm name, Cohen and Wolf, which means it was impossible to verify the amounts in the attorney's affidavit. I don't know, man. $40,700. That seems pretty reasonable for the fact that you had effectively tried to sue a critic for talking shit about the factual things that you have said and done throughout your career. I mean, you didn't want to get sued over that, or you didn't want people talking shit about you. Maybe you should try not being a douchebag. Have you ever considered that possibility? I mean, you haven't tried it before. Maybe now would be a good time to start.
Why start now? Also, counterpoints. Good lawyers are expensive. Yeah. Double so if you lose.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Since I brought that Megan Stallion thing earlier, this is like the opposite of that.
Yeah. Just, you know, I'm just rooting for... I'm wondering how much worse this can get for Ronnie. Like, how much longer could this get drawn out? How much bigger could the fees balloon? Will it approach anything close to the lull suit, as it were?
I hope not, because I don't want to spend the next 5 years of my life waiting on this to be over.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll be like a lawsuit speed run. I just look at the size of the fees, and I'm just, again, I'm here like Kylo Ren, just more. More!
Well, you know, interest will tack on. Possibly more fees tacked on if there is an attempt at an appeal and a judgment finds. Nope. You're just a dick, dude. Go pay him. And it'll just balloon, balloon, and balloon, and balloon, and balloon, until suddenly you owe $500,000.
Pay the man.
Pay now. Don't pay more later.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we're all very aware of Mr. Radke. He is not going to take the L anytime soon. That L is just going to keep getting bigger.
He certainly should, because he is a giant sentient L.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, this fun guy. But, yeah, we're probably going to have to keep an eye out on that, it seems. But until then, that's pretty much all the news. We only have one more thing to discuss here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of September 12th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Between the Buried and Me with The Blue Nowhere. Unfortunately, Icy Stars is back with a new album called The Wheel. Thankfully, for me at least, that's counteracted by the newest album from Lorna Shore with I Feel the Ever Black Festering Within Me. From Silverstein, we have their second album of the year with Pink Moon. From Four Bats, we have their new project Still Shining. From Ed Sheeran, a new album titled Play. And from 21 Pilots, we have their new album Breach. So, for those of you that still follow 21 Pilots in the year of our Lord 2025, I mean, you do you, man. So, yeah, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internets?
The usual places. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, the place where you probably found the link to this episode. You just find me there. You all know where I am, even though I am very much a very curmudgeon-y hermit.
Aren't we all? Anyway, I'm Mark. What about you?
Of course, I'm on Blue Sky Mental Media. Find me on the Discord as well. And of course, my site, my hype1.com. Since I ain't said shit for the past three weeks, yeah, welcome to Zona Mirta. Read it, and all that shit. I'm actually almost done writing the last chapter of that. Like, I'm so close to being done. Like, I just gotta make a few more things to write, and then that's it.
Nice, very nice. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, some other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast M&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, you can also find the link to our Discord server there, so you can be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. Talk about whatever topics may typically fancy. All that jazz. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual weekly business, thank fuck. And, of course, the album roundup for August 2025. You'll see that, well, not this week, but the week after. You know what I mean. We have to get our bearings in place. One of us was incapacitated without a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, give us some time, people.
Give us some time.
Yeah. We're all very busy.
Yes, we are. So, thank you for listening. And until then, remember, listen to real podcasts, not AI podcasts. There's not a joke here. If you listen to AI podcasts, you're fucking weird.